Heart here tonight and worship God with you. And I do especially like the seating arrangement from front to rear.
Amen.
And I will spread that from north to south. And I'll tell you what, it's sure the truth what Brother Rutledge said. It's not often that you find that. You usually got to get to our place early to get a back seat. And, that's the truth. I think that there's not many places that I call and invite myself to come to, but I have done that on a couple occasions here with Brother Rutledge, although he has said I always had an invitation to come, and they have always been very kind to me, and I appreciate that. I really do. Now, sometimes we may be on different sides of a certain issue or something like that, but I've always got Sister Rutledge on my side. And she still takes up for me, and she's my mediator between me. Praise the Lord. But really, I like to be here. I enjoy being here. And I enjoy being with Brother and Sister Rutledge. We had a great time the other night going to DeWitt, to the rally. Enjoyed ourselves together. And I just especially had a good time. You folks have a great church here and have had for many years. And I certainly recognize that and realize that. And thank the Lord for all His blessings to you. I'm especially glad tonight to see a little girl I practically raised up on church pews. That's Sister Virginia Absher back in the back. She lived in Fort Smith all of her life, and she had one of the greatest mothers that's ever walked through the halls of our church. And we've missed her since the Lord has taken her home. But I'm glad to see her here tonight. Sure. And all of you good folks, I don't really know how to tell you I feel tonight, because I'm just going to be perfectly honest. I knocked off a little early today out at the camp, and I went in, and I know that you are accustomed to good preaching around here. Good teaching. And so when I left the cabin today and I started out the door, and I'd been sitting there with the Bible, and I just thought, boy, I've really got something here. I just really got something here tonight. And I got to driving down the highway on the way over here, and I don't know, just got one of those feelings. I don't know how, you almost have to be a preacher to know and understand this, but sometimes you can think you see something.
That's true.
And you get to the house of the Lord, you wonder what you ever did see in that.
Uh-huh.
And then you can have a feeling like, I'm just really rambunctious tonight, you know. And then you sit down and you let the Lord just move like He oftentimes did, but just clay in the potter's hands, and you want God's will above everything. Now, I guess this hit me a minute ago, and I don't even know if I'm making sense to you, but Brother Rutledge mentioned the fact that there were some things in this world that he could have. He doesn't have that because he just didn't particularly want that. And that he loved this more than anything else. And I thought of that while he was saying that, and it just seemed to say to me, there's There's something I want.
Hallelujah.
From God. More than anything else. And that's this. I want to be sensitive to His moving, and His touch, and His presence. Now, He can move in a whole lot of ways. He can move in the dance, and He can move in the shout, and Lord knows I love that. He can move in so many, many ways. But if somehow all of us could just be sensitive to the way He wants to move in our life. Now, if all I ever had in my spiritual life was a shout, if all I ever had was a shout, I think it would be indicative of a shallow experience. I can't just take this body and feed it one natural food and supply every nutrient that it needs in order to sustain me. I got to have a variety of things to make me healthy. And same way with the spiritual man. And I'm not suggesting at all that we're in any church that's not healthy and it's not well-rounded. I believe that history proves that. But somehow, Lord, help me tonight to be sensitive. Can I just do what I'm doing if I want to do it? Because this is nothing I planned at all. Must be somebody here, but well, it is. It's me. Might as well be honest. It's me. There's some things that a minister looks at in his people that reveals to him character. And there's more than one revealer of real character. I think one of them is just somebody that has done wrong being able to say, I'm sorry.
That's right.
So simple, and it's so elementary. And God only knows, I guess it has to be that way with me. If God's to ever help me at all or use me at all, it's going to have to be on a level of simplicity and things I can relate to and understand. But if there's any revealer of character to God, it's repentance. You know, you don't even get to Him until you repent.
That's the truth.
And so to be able to say I'm sorry, if you're a minister, if you're a friendship or whatever, to not say if I've done anything, maybe I might have did this, but you know, it's when you make a mistake and you've done something you ought not do. For somebody to come into my office at home and wherever and just say, Brother Lumpkin, I want you to know I did something and I'm sorry. It's a real revealer of character, because a lot of folks have got the kind of makeup that they don't ever want to be able. They're just too big to say, I'm sorry.
That's the truth.
And there's none of us here tonight that'll ever get anywhere with God, really grow in God, till we are able to develop that particular part of our character that'll make us to say, I'm sorry.
That's the truth.
Now, why am I doing this tonight? I'm just talking to myself. I guess. And then, of course, another one is just being able to be appreciative. To be appreciative of what God's done. And that don't have to be complicated either.
That's right.
To be thankful. I looked over this church. I looked over its ceiling. It's unique. It's beautiful. And these walls and this place of worship is housed many a time of the refreshing of God in it. And to be appreciative of it, to be thankful for it.
Hallelujah.
You know, it may not be the biggest cathedral in the city, but yet there's something real sincere about your appreciation for what God's done. See, that's where I believe that's what it means when he talks about looking on the heart. There's things down there that he sees in us that he really knows what comes out and makes real character out of our life. To be appreciative. To be thankful. You know, I was raised up from, I guess, about age 7 years old, 6 or 7. My dad left home. And my mom, my old mother, went to work. I remember how me and I had no brothers and I had a sister. And I'm not being sentimental tonight. I'm trying to really be sincere with you and just talk a minute. Now, I remember how we'd go up there and meet her late at night, getting out of that old sock factory. Work 50, 60 hours a week and bring home about $15, $16. And I was just a little fella at the time, but I knew and recognized the fact that if she was taking care of my sister and I. I got me a job about the age of 10, I think, at delivering papers. I made $1 a week. And I remember that first payday I had, just a little tyke. I got it changed into $2 half. And I remember giving, feeling so proud about going in there and giving my ma 50 cents. And I remember how she cried. Mercy, that's been over 40 years ago. But I didn't understand. I thought I was making her happy. But I was, really. But I didn't know that young mind that I had. But every now and then I look back in that secular area of my life and I really, she's living today. I've been able to get a little 2-bedroom house for her, about a block from the church. I appreciate her more than just love her. I appreciate her. Now, there have been men in my life that have influenced me in the realm of the spiritual matters of living. And I can't remember much but good.
Hallelujah. That's good.
About just about every one of them.
That's great.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
Appreciate. So to be able to say I'm sorry when I'm wrong, to be able to have a sense of appreciation from the little simple things of your youth on through to the spiritual matters that relate to your spiritual future, walking with God and men and women you've come in contact with, if you can just appreciate somebody that able to acknowledge wrong and somebody's able to appreciate, and then again, somebody that's able to work themselves spiritually against retarding winds that blow against them, they got the kind of a character that spells nothing much but success, really. Really.
Hallelujah.
Because you see, you don't ever work your way spiritually in a dead calm. You don't do it. Now, you'd always like, even a pastor would just like every week and every month for everything just to always be on the top shelf and go sailing down the spiritual Milky Way and never have any winds blowing. You know, every now and then we like to think how good that would be.
Right.
How nice that would be. But really, that's not the way I develop myself. I've got to have winds of worldly opposition blowing against me. If I ever get comfortable with anything in the world, then I'm not going to develop the spiritual man at all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't know. You might have, if I say anything repetitious that I might have said before, you know, traveling over this state oftentimes, and say a lot of things comes to your mind. But I remember one time how I broke that arm and shoulder and collarbone all at the same time, and how they bandaged that thing up and they kept it there for weeks. And I remember how I so desperately longed to get that arm down and shake it and throw it and just exercise it and move it. And finally, after many weeks, the day came where that arm, that cast, and all that business was taken off. And I was so looking forward to that day. And when they got it all off, and that arm just stayed there. It didn't do a thing. And my brain said to that arm, "Move, arm," and that arm would not respond to that brain. It would not respond because it had been inactive. It had been immobile. It hadn't done anything. All it had done was just laid up there, you know. It didn't say anything about, "I'm sorry that happened." It didn't say a thing about, "I appreciate this." It didn't say anything about anything. All that arm did was just lay there. Didn't move. And it took many, many days for me to ever get that arm down to my side. It took days of taking the other hand and moving it inch by inch by inch. And in my mind, I was flexing the bicep. I was extending the forearm. I was exercising the elbow in my mind, but it wasn't working. It had just been too uninvolved. It just hadn't done a thing for months. And because of it, it took many, 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 many weeks to ever get it where I could flex it again. And what a parallel that is to the man or the woman that in a pew and listen to a song, and maybe they exercise two hand claps or pat their feet three or four times, and they never get involved in anything. They lay their spiritual body on the shoulder of immobility, and they never move. They are never stirred. They are never active. They don't get involved in anything. They just coast along and go along with the wind. Whichever way the wind blows, that's the way I'll go, because I'm not going to get involved in anything, because if I get involved in anything, I'll get too intricately associated with this and that and thus and so, and so I won't do it. And immobility will eventually paralyze, you know. It really does. And it's just like the steps of sleeping sickness. There's steps that a person goes through in encephalitis and a sleeping sickness disease. And what a parallel that is to the spiritual man also. But, church, it takes the retarding winds blowing against us to make us push our way into the things that God wants us to be. You just don't work your way spiritually in a dead calm. You don't do it. You don't do it. Praise the Lord. You come and you sing and you worship, and every one of you here do that. And I know that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, I sitting over here on this pew, my mind just was going so many ways and so many simple ways, but still, I felt what I'm saying tonight. I don't know how it fits outside of me, but you know, a man really never can preach to anybody else till he first preaches to himself, and he sees himself, and he knows that he's got to have that touch of God. And so above everything in this world, I want that touch of God.
Sure.
Hallelujah, I want it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so if I can learn some of these little old simple things, then I don't have to be a failure. I don't have to be a failure in life. You don't have to be a failure. Praise the Lord. And I thought about these four little steps that relate to what I'd like to say tonight. It's simple again, but it's so true. You know, David prayed one time, and he said, "Hear me speedily, O Lord. Hear me in a hurry, because my spirit faileth." My spirit faileth. I don't think there's anybody here tonight in times past that have not been discouraged, that have not been temporarily demoralized. You know, I think we go through those things.
Why, sure.
I believe we're human enough to admit that we're not so spiritual. We're so spiritual that we never have a problem, that we don't go through things. If that was true, everything I've already said means nothing, because you don't work your way without some opposition. You don't do it. There's some battles you go through, and you get your combat experience only by experience. It can't be taught any other way. It's got to be by experience. So I'm not going to be a failure. David said, "Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth." Sometimes people can get in a thought position that they just say, "Well, I'm just not going to try anymore. It's just not worth even trying." I don't know whether you've ever heard that before. And maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Or maybe you felt that. Well, this has happened and that's happened, and this has been done, and that's been done. So just, what's the use of trying?
Uh-huh.
What's the use of trying?
Oh, God.
Amen. Well, when do we begin our journey on the way to failure?
I see.
We begin it when we get to a place when we won't try. When we won't try. There have been times when I've knelt on my knees, and God has seemed a million miles from me. I crawled between the pews last Sunday night, back in the middle of the church somewhere, and laid on my face there, and I wept and cried before God, and I sought Him with all that was in my heart. I'd been fighting a battle of opposition, a battle of a curtain being pulled between me and my relationship to Him.
Sure.
And I could have said, "Now, God, I've served You all these many years, and I don't deserve to have You in a long way off place against me." I could have said that, but I got on my face, and before God, I told Him there was nothing that I knew of that I wanted to stand between me and Him. I told Him that wonderful, beautiful church and those people that I pastored. I said, "God, if I don't belong here,
I don't belong here. It's up to you. I said that office of superintendent that I work in on the behalf of this district. I said, God, if that's something I don't need, I don't want it, God. I don't want it. I said, I just want to be able to have a communication between you and me. Hallelujah. 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 I've got to have that. And when I get where I face the winds that blow, I've got to find that spot somewhere. I've got to cry out like David cried out, Lord, hear me speedily. My spirit faileth. My spirit faileth. God won't break your spirit.
Amen.
You've often heard that. In the world or whatever, on the job with children, reformatories, give him all the discipline you can, but don't break your spirit. God won't break your spirit. Hallelujah. He won't do that.
Amen.
He won't do that.
That's
He'll not put more on us than we're able to bear.
True.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you can have failures without being a failure.
That's right. Amen.
Have a lot of failures without being a failure.
Uh-huh.
But I got to try.
Uh-huh.
I got to try.
Sure.
You got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to try. When you don't feel like it, you've got to try.
Sure.
When you've lost your job, you've still got to try.
Amen.
When the things in the secular world are working against you and your economy is going haywire and everything just seems like it's not working out, you still got to try. It's a little simple thing, Brother Harry, but you got to try.
Amen. That's right.
And I could scatter myself off in 15 ways here, both naturally and spiritually, I suppose, parallels of illustrations where people have taken those things that have been tremendous hindrances against them. Monty Stratton was a baseball player. I heard you talking about that tonight. He lost a leg in Iwo Jima. He left it over there on the other side of the world. He had been a professional pitcher. He came back home, got an artificial leg fitted on that stump that he had, and somehow, by some perseverance of some sort, that fella actually made the big leagues and pitched a game in them, even after leaving a leg on Iwo Jima.
All right.
He had to be pretty good in his field. I'm not eulogizing his field tonight. I'm not building that up. I am eulogizing the man that was willing to go ahead in spite of such a handicap. For trying, he could have laid up and took his pigeon and never turned another lick.
Right.
But he didn't do it.
God
wants men like that and women like that. Praise the Lord. You'd have far more at stake than a ball game. Praise the Lord. He did. He made his in spite of a leg. And sometimes we can't come to ours because of a headache.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I didn't tell him.
Hallelujah. I didn't say that to be catty. I didn't do that, but you know what I'm talking
about. That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Try.
That's good.
Man's a failure when he won't try.
Uh-huh. Praise God.
Henry Ford, Walter P. Chrysler, some of those men that industrialized America, put the working man on its first $5 pay they ever got.
Right.
You don't know. You don't know all of the failures that they had.
Amen.
But they kept on trying.
Amen.
Man's a failure when he won't try. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to hurry. I hope I'm not putting you to sleep here tonight. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord here. I believe He's here. There's sometimes also in this little area of what I'm speaking about tonight, a man's a failure when he won't trust. When he won't trust. There's some things that you've got to go through in those winds blowing against you that's going to do something to that character of yours. It's an area of life where it doesn't really do you good for somebody to come and at that stage perhaps and say, here's 8 boxes of groceries, here's a handful of cash. I'm not saying right now that we don't need to take care of our brothers and sisters, but there are some things in our life that we've got to go through by ourselves, us and God making the way and opening the door without the help of our relatives.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
I don't know how to lay that out. I know what it is to load a wife and 2 little old kids up in a little old homemade trailer and start out with nothing but a call, I guess. Didn't have a whole lot of sense, but still the thing burning in me. And I knew that I didn't have a job, and I knew that somehow or another I was going to have to trust God, trust Him. I knew that somehow He was going to make a way. Now, I don't think you've got to be foolish. I think God knows that a man's got to have a living. He's got to eat. He can't serve him if he can't eat, if he can't provide for his family. You've got to have that in the church. You've got to have that in the ministry. You've got to have that everywhere. But if somehow or another, praise the Lord, David said he had never seen the righteous forsaken. He had never seen his seed begging bread. There's some kind of security that God puts in the life of a man or woman. He'll do that. But He doesn't just always do that unless there's some winds, first of all, blowing against you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the muscles are being developed that God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to develop a characteristic of some of them of Job and go through those things I need to go through. Man's a failure when he won't try, and a man's a failure when he won't trust. Man's a failure when he don't care. I just don't care. Doesn't matter to me if the church needs painting. It doesn't matter to me if the carpet's not swept. Doesn't matter to me what goes on there tonight. Doesn't matter to me if all of them not in the prayer room or don't go to the prayer room. Doesn't matter to me what Brother Rutledge does or what he doesn't do or does. It just does. I just don't care. I just could care less. Just care less. I don't care. I just don't care. If you think God's pleased with that, you are nuttier than a fruitcake.
All right.
Forgive me, Lord.
That's all right.
Hallelujah. You've got to care. You've got to care. I've got to care. I don't know. It bothers me to see trash on the carpet of the church. I like to reach over. I've seen people walk over. 18 people walk over 3 or 4 Kleenex. That's so good. Oh, you just nitty picking now, Brother Lumpkin. You just looking. No, I'm not looking for nothing. There's something about character, spiritual character, that relates to God's house, that everything about it is precious and wonderful and clean and good. And I do care about whether that thing needs dusting or not. And I do care whether or not this place needs vacuuming. And I do care whether or not it looks good on the outside when people drive down the street. I do care that people could turn and point their hand to the church and say, that's a nice looking place right there. I do care. I do care. I do care when people come to the altar and take the time to seek God, go to the prayer room early, gather around that hungry-hearted individual that needs something from God. I do care. You got to care. You've just got to care. There's more to your living than just yourself and your two or three bedrooms and your own house. There's more to living and more to being a success for God than to incarcerating yourself just to that little place. You're a failure if you don't care.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm. Hallelujah.
All right. Bless him, Lord.
Hallelujah. And somehow I just believe God's in this tonight. I know I'm holding you too long. You're a failure when you won't share. When you won't share. When it's just no way in the world for you to get outside of your little budget. And I'm talking about now when it comes to the things of God. You won't share. I want to tell you a little experience I had years ago. And I wouldn't tell it if I didn't feel the Lord here. Because you could just misinterpret it. You could misread it, but I've told it before, and I'll probably tell it again if I feel it.
Sure.
I don't think God gets tired of being reminded. But I remember going through a real struggle, and it had got to the place where I didn't have nothing, anything, really. What I mean by that, I had a wife, I had two children. I had no food. And I remember going over to pray in the church. And I was really seeking the Lord. You know, I couldn't preach to you this way tonight if I hadn't been there. I know that. But all of a sudden, I turned around and there was a man standing behind me. And he said, "Mister?" I didn't hear him come in. I don't remember how he left. Nothing. All I remember is this, that I turned around and that man said, "If it won't offend you, I'd like to give you this money." And he pressed $27 into my hand. And I went to church that night, and on my way down the sidewalk, I met a fella coming across the street, and I took $5 of that money I had, and I shook hands with him, and I left $5 of it in his hand. That night when church was over, I was going out to door, and I run into another fellow that was worse off than that one. And I took another $5 and I shook hands with him and left $5 in his hand. I was walking down the sidewalk and the Lord impressed me, if he ever impressed, never done this before, just this way, but he showed me a little old basement flat that I recognized in my mind's eye. I'm not trying to talk mysterious. I know when you're impressed and when you see things and when you don't. I'm no mysterious, spectacular fellow at all. I'm strictly down to earth. But the Lord impressed me to buy that man a pair of shoes. And I went out early the next morning and got him a pair of shoes. I found out what I need to get him. And I took those shoes and slipped them in his door. And he doesn't know to this day where they come from. Now, I think I had $7 left. I think that's what I had left. And I went to the store, and I went to the grocery store, and I began to pick up a few groceries and put them in that old cart, and I went to the counter, and I paid for what I got. And I walked out that door after paying that bill. And when I walked on the sidewalk, it felt like I had walked into a beautiful light, a gorgeous, wonderful, beautiful light that I could see it and I could also feel it. And it felt like it was purifying me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Just purifying. Just everything felt good. Clean. Wholesome. I felt good.
Hallelujah.
And I stopped on that sidewalk and I wept before God. What is the end result of this? Why are you saying all this? I'm saying all of that to say this. There has not been one day since that year in 1956. Not one day that I have ever opened up my cabinet, or opened my icebox, or opened my pantry, that I haven't always had something there to take care of my family. Never been a day, not one. He has supplied not only my needs, He has given me many of my wants. He's just blessed me. Praise the Lord. Pressed down, running over, shaken together. And I really think it certainly hadn't been because I've been very brilliant. I hadn't been very smart. I'm not the most intellectual fellow that ever put on a pair of shoes. I don't command that. I can't command that from the world. I can't command that from industry or secular thing. I can't do that. I don't have that kind of ability to do that. It's just a little secret is what it is. It's a secret, praise the Lord. Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Yeah.
Running over, pressed down, shaken together. Sharing.
Hallelujah.
Man's a failure when he won't share.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
I learned how to sign over a whole paycheck to the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
Some people choke a buffalo to death on a nickel.
Yes. Amen.
So tight and stingy. God hates it. If he don't, I do. I believe he hates it. Amen. That's why he's got three avenues in here of sharing, giving, tithes, offerings, and alms.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Now, All you preachers, you really get down the money. If you don't have enough spiritual discernment here tonight to understand that what I've said to you has been under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you need to pray through again. Hallelujah. You're not, you know, if that, this man here is going to get along.
Sure. Hallelujah.
He's going to get along. I'm going to get along. You see, where we sometimes are a failure in life out there and we have struggles is because we don't learn that secret of sharing what God's given to us. A man's a failure when he won't share. Well, oh, that's a little thing in the church there now. If you need me to sing, I can sure give you a solo. How about a good little sermonette up there, Brother Rutledge? I'm just the man to shake that congregation.
Bless you, Lord.
Oh, I can handle that. You want me to lay hands on somebody and pray? But that giving?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's incidental. That's little. He that is faithful in the least,
praise God,
is also faithful in much. And
amen.
He that is unfaithful in the least, if that's in your category, that's on the bottom. If it were.
Amen.
If it were. If you're unfaithful in that, you're unfaithful in talking in tongues from here up to the courthouse building.
Uh-huh. That's all right. That's all right.
Hello.
Hello. Uh-huh.
Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth.
Uh-huh.
When is a man a failure? When he won't try. When he won't trust. When he doesn't care.
Oh, my.
And when he won't share. Well, if he's a failure when he won't do it, he must be a success when he will do it.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And God wants us to grow in him. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Fella gets up to preach, you know. He just kind of gives, they say in public speaking, you're supposed to start a fire. That's a good opening statement.
Yeah.
You're supposed to build a bridge. That's from the pew to the pulpit, because you're up here and they're out there and you got to get them on that bridge with you. You're supposed to give for instances.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, you demand action.
Mm-hmm.
Altar call or whatever. Colored fella, he don't put it that way. He says, I just gets up, I tells him what I'm going to say. I says it, then I tells him what I said. And he said, then I sits down. And that's just about it tonight. I'm through. Praise the Lord, I'm through. But you know what? I feel good. I feel like the Lord's been with us. Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise him for his goodness to us. Thank you, sister.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to say before I turn it to Brother Rutledge that he'll forgive me and straighten up anything I messed up here tonight. I hadn't intended to hurt nobody. I really feel like I've been in the Lord's will. So you've said that three times. I don't usually say that all the time. I've been some places where I wish I had been. But I feel good about being in this church tonight. Let's praise the Lord, shall we?
I'd like for our young people, as many as here, and everybody else that knows it, to come up here and sing, I'm yours, Lord, in harmony with what Brother Lumpkin has said tonight. I'll tell you the truth, this is all right. Let's praise him again for the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God forever. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I've got, I'm yours, Lord. Hallelujah to God. All right, just worship the Lord. You may be seated while he's singing if you'd like.
Amen.
Made that commitment, you should do that tonight. I'm yours, Lord. All the things that Brother Lumpkin has talked to us about tonight. The blessing of really being a Christian. Able to trust and share and all the things that we are to do that makes up Christianity. We're going to gather up front and close this service with prayer tonight.